anything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Next weekend, you'll have a chance to enter a wondrous land of imagination. At the Twilight Zone, live at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. This visit to the Zone is a supernatural folk tale set in an old-time rural community in the Appalachian Mountains. And it's about a love triangle, about witchcraft, and about dark transformations. Today, my co-host Dolores Mitchell will be talking with three lead actors from the play and with the director. Well, that's me. Over the next half hour, here on Weekend Showcase, you can get ready for your journey next weekend to the Twilight Zone. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
At Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, a play based on the novel by Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with a Sunday afternoon show at 2 o'clock. Tonight at the Reading Civic Auditorium, enjoy an evening of laughs when Gabriel Iglesias takes the stage. Don't miss your chance to see unique comedy from Fluffy, starting at 8 o'clock. And in Red Bluff tonight, the State Theater brings the funny with a political spin. See Will Durst on his Elect to Laugh 2016 tour. Experience Durst's cutting satire starting at 7:30. At the Orland Art Center, view the exhibit Summer Smorgasbord. This show includes water media, oil painting, pencil drawings, and pastels, and it showcases the work of three artists. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6. At Chico's Downtown Plaza tonight, dance to the alt-rock and pop sounds of Duval. The band starts its concert at 6 o'clock. Premiering tonight at Chico Theater Company, Sabrina Fair. Curtain time is 7:30 for this classic romantic comedy based on the Audrey Hepburn film. It also performs tomorrow at 7:30, and there's a Sunday matinee at 2. Opening next Thursday at Chico's Blue Room Theater, The Twilight Zone Live. In just a minute, we'll be hearing from three of the actors and the director from that production. 1078 Gallery in Chico presents Seen and Heard, Local Musicians as Artists. Musicians from Chico are displaying visual art pieces they've created. The gallery's open Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30. The Chico Art Center currently features Chico Masters, past and present works. This exhibit highlights three local artists and their preferred media. View the works of these master artists at the center any day of the week between noon and 4. Tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday, you can still enjoy the 20th annual California World Fest at the Nevada County Fairgrounds in Grass Valley. Featuring 8 stages for entertainment, this festival brings together a diverse selection of musicians, dancers, and visual artists from around the globe. For more information, go online to worldfest.net. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Creator of The Twilight Zone, Rod Serling, believed that every writer is a frustrated actor who recites his lines in the hidden auditorium of his skull.
traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and I'm speaking with the director plus three actors of the Twilight Zone Live, Jess Bell, Tom Kinney. What has the experience been like?
Wow, it's interesting being on the other side of the microphone here. I'm suddenly an interviewee. Well, Dolores, I love this episode. I love Twilight Zone in general. By the way, Dolores, what are your memories of the Twilight Zone when you first saw it back in the late 50s or early 60s?
I remember that it was very spooky.
Yeah, I was freaked out as a kid by it, but my parents wouldn't let me watch it, but I would watch it surreptitiously from the next room. One interesting thing about this episode is most of the episodes of the Twilight Zone were half hour. But this is from the one season of The Twilight Zone where the episodes were a whole hour. The hour episodes are interesting because there's more room for character development and, you know, it's more rounded characters and a little bit more complex story. And this episode has a unique flavor to it because it's like a supernatural folk tale set in the Appalachian Mountains among the rural community. And it deals with supernatural things like witches and spells and potions. It has a very interesting flavor that's different from most of the other Twilight Zones, I think.
And what is this cast like? What were they like to work with?
They're all looking at me, so I think I better have a good answer to this one. No, this has been a great cast to work with. I mean, I'm blessed with lots of wonderfully talented actors, and you know, a director can't ask for more than that. And they are all bringing all kinds of things that are delightfully surprising and wonderful to each of their parts. So yeah, I've been really enjoying working with this cast, and we're looking forward to opening night next Thursday.
Chriselle Morales, tell me about being the lead, Jess Bell.
Well, Jess Bell is the social outcast. She is part of this, you know, rural community, but she is poor. She's a bastard child. Her and her mom live on the outskirts of town. Her father left before she was even born. And so with that comes this sense of entitlement because she doesn't want to be an outcast. She feels like she deserves what everyone else has, and she has a chip on her shoulder, and with that comes a little bit of recklessness.
Would you call your character a victim?
I think my character refuses to be a victim of circumstance, and that's where a lot of her headstrong, won't take no for an answer, and kind of spitfire nature comes from. She refuses to accept her circumstances like her mom has, and she actually has a very interesting relationship with her mother. There's a kind of resentment for her mother being okay with the way they're treated that she won't accept herself, but at the same time, they're all each other has. They have to, you know, stick together. With that, I feel like Jess Bell has this kind of protective mama bear nature that you normally wouldn't see in a mother-daughter relationship. And because she refuses to take no for an answer, she goes off and tries to take what's hers and get things done herself.
You seem to have a lot of insight into the character. Was it difficult to get into that psychology?
Yes and no. This is just part of the process. Any actor has their own way of going about it. But it all starts with asking yourself questions. Who is this character? What do they do? Why are they like this? What happened in the past? What hurts them? What moves them? What drives them? What fulfills them? Asking yourself all of those questions, reading the script over and over and finding your place in the story and how you become a cog in the wheel really allows you to understand and develop your character more.
Ronnie, you're playing Billy Benn, who apparently is irresistible to women, and you had quite a relationship with Jess Bell.
Well, their relationship started with Billy Benn saw Jess Bell out in a field one day. He liked her. He whistled at her, and it was the beginning of a relationship that they kept secret from the community. It was just between them. It was kind of hot and heavy. Only they knew about it.
Well, this lasted for a while, but then another woman came upon the scene.
Yes. Billy Benn eventually meets Ellie. She is kind of the good girl. She's not like Jess Bell. And he falls in love with her, and she's the kind of girl who he can take out in public and be proud to show. And so he decides to marry her because he loves her and she's everything he wants in a wife.
Jess Bell, how did you feel about that? And I have to call you Jess Bell because you've so gotten into that character.
Well, initially it's hurt, which turns to anger, which turns to revenge. I fell in love with Billy Benn Turner, couldn't believe that he even took an interest in me. You know, I fed into his sweet words and his personality and never questioned the fact that we never did anything in public. He slowly stopped coming around. I got a little insecure, and then I found out that he had proposed to the girl who is the complete opposite of everything I am, the girl who has it all and will always have it all, and that hurts, and that makes me feel like I have to take matter into my own hands to get what I deserve.
You're hurt, and you're just not going to let that happen. What do you do next?
Well, I heard that on the outskirts of town, there's this woman named Granny Hart, and it said when this woman's baby was dying of a fever that she went out and got a potion for him somewhere, that baby was able to live, and I heard that she was the person to go to when you need help. I don't think I was aware of what I was getting into at the time.
Well, now let's talk to the witch. Can I call you the witch? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. This is Jennifer Carraway, who plays Granny Hart.
Yes, that's fine. You can address me as the witch.
Well, witch, what did you do for this young woman who's so heartbroken?
Well, she comes to me with this story of her love and her heart being broken, and that she must have his love above anything else, and she would do anything in her power to win his love. Yet she is poor. She doesn't have any money for me. There's quite an exchange that takes place for her to get the man that she wants to love her. There's a high price to pay with a special potion I give her.
Do you tell her what the drawback to this potion is?
Not necessarily. I don't give any inkling. I just let her know that at the midnight hour, she will know what the price is.
Hmm. Well, let's not get into exactly what that price is, but it's a pretty terrible supernatural price. Let me just say that it might involve a transformation into a ferocious beast of some kind.
Jennifer, how did you get into character to be a witch? Is there something in you that suddenly came out?
To be perfectly honest, I kind of have a little bit of Granny Hart in my personality, I'd like to say. Not that that's a bad thing. I did some research about the time period, what entails a witch that lives in that part of the country, and what do witches do? Do they cast spells? Do they mix potions? Kind of everything that goes hand in hand with invoking the power of the elements and the supernatural to kind of get what you want out of life or help people get what they're asking for from me.
What is your life like as a witch? Does the community accept you?
Oh, no. The community does not accept me. I live on the outskirts, kind of up in the mountain, in my own cabin. I keep to myself. I don't go into town. I put on a very safe mask, so to speak. I don't want to encourage the rumors or encourage the stories because I don't want anything to happen to me, of course. So it's kind of really on the sly.
Jennifer, do you secretly enjoy the power of being a witch?
Yes, of course I do. Once I've come into my own power and realized all of the wonderful ways that I can get what I want or help others get what they need or want simply by a mixture of certain herbs and remedies, certain incantations, things of that nature. Once you realize this great power that you have, you just want to dive deeper and deeper and more and more into it. So yes, I'm very, very protective and proud of my abilities. That's for sure.
One thing I want to point out, Dolores, is one of the things that makes this Twilight Zone special is it has that folktale Appalachian flavor, but it also has a musical element all the way through because the whole thing is interwoven with a folk song about this particular story. And we actually had some Chico favorite musicians record that folk song for us. And it's kind of the Ballad of Jess Bell. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
Fair was Ellie Glover, dark was Jess Bell. Both they loved the same man, and both they loved him well.
Tricia and Peter Burko, favorite musicians on the Chico music scene, they just made that recording of a song called The Ballad of Jess Bell. That song is part of a Twilight Zone episode. It's going to be live on stage at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, opening this next Thursday. That's a play I'm directing at the Blue Room Theater. And Dolores Mitchell and I are here talking to three of the lead actors. Chriselle Morales, who plays the title character Jess Bell. Ronnie Jenkins, who plays Billy Ben Turner. And Jennifer Carraway, who plays Granny Hart, the witch.
The witch and Jess Bell, you really both are outsiders, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes, we are. And I think that's why she feels the need to help me. She can sense that I am an outcast, and she can sense that I want love, which is essentially what she probably has always wanted, living up in the mountains by herself as well. And in a sense lives vicariously through me by helping me and turning me into something that is more relatable to her.
As director of this show, I worked a lot with the mirror image of these two characters. There's a bond between them, I think, even though, you know, they're different ages. The secret that comes out during the play is in the process of giving this potion everything, Granny Hart has transformed Jess Bell, without her knowledge really, into a witch as well. So it's like she's had Jess Bell join the sisterhood of witches. Mm. And so they are really more the same as the play goes on.
Tom, how did you work with the male lead, who has some rather unsympathetic aspects to his character?
Let's have Ronnie address that, because that is definitely something I've been working with him on. How do we make him, you know, likable so that the audience is with him, because the audience really has to be with him. And yet he did some things that are not necessarily very nice to Jezebel. Ronnie, how have we been working on your character to kind of keep him likable and relatable, even with the things that he's done to Jess Bell?
I think he feels horrible about the situation. He never wanted to break Jess Bell's heart. He just found himself in love with a different girl.
Ronnie, did you have a distinct feeling that a spell was cast upon you when you saw Jess Bell come back to the dance?
the interesting thing about this part is the audience knows what's happening, but my character doesn't. So they're kind of one step ahead of me, and they just get to see the results of what's happening and watch the characters kind of slowly figure it out throughout the show. So that's a fun character to play.
Well, how about the second woman? You have to leave her now. What's that like?
When I jump back to Jezebel, my fiance, Ellie, is heartbroken, but she also knows that something isn't right. She suspects Jezebel has been up to no good. She knows there's really nothing she can do about it at the moment. She's very heartbroken to see wrong done to Billy Ben, because she knows Billy Ben is a good person inside.
So the suspense is, what's going to happen? How is this all going to work out? Is the side of virtue going to win out, or is the side of evil? Although, you know, personally, I don't really see this as the witch being evil, as maybe was intended by the author of the original teleplay. And I think Granny Hart represents someone who's in tune with the earth and nature and the fundamental deep rhythms of life. And I think that the Appalachian community is more into Christian values and that sort of thing, and is not so in tune with the natural force thing. I think it's just kind of two worldviews at war with each other, really.
Jumping off of what Tom said, Ronnie and I were actually doing some research earlier, and this particular episode of The Twilight Zone, Jezebel, is the only episode ever that Serling didn't have a closing speech for. And normally, as everyone who's seen The Twilight Zone knows, one of the most iconic things is Serling opening the show with an intro to what the episode is going to be and then closing it with the moral of the story. And I think it's interesting that he doesn't have one in this one, because all of the characters are so sympathetic. It isn't as black and white as good versus evil. You can't just say Jezebel's bad and she, you know, she doesn't deserve this, because she struggled her whole life and she's just trying to make a better life for herself. And Elwyn is also a good-hearted person, so it's not just a black and white thing. And I think it's interesting because the audience gets to walk away and figure out what the moral of the story is for them based on the characters that they liked and they sympathized with.
There also seems to be quite a class conflict. One of the reasons that the second woman is so appealing has to do with her being very wealthy. How about that, Ronnie? Did you think about that as you were developing your character?
No, I mean, I think Billy Ben's a good guy. I don't think he's just marrying Ellie for the money. I think she's more the girl that he sees himself marrying. You know, Jezebel, when she's forced into this bad situation, she immediately takes the easy out. I think that fact about her is why he wouldn't bring her around in public. I think he always kind of could tell that there was this little bit about her. She's not the type you want to marry. You know, she'll take the easy way out. She'll take the non-logical way out. Whereas Ellie, she's very sweet. She's a thinker. And she's just the girl. She's more the type that he wants to spend his life with.
I have to second what Crissell said. One of the things that impresses me about this play and the teleplay it's based on, there really are no villains as far as I can see. I mean, you could say Granny Hart is a scheming witch. That's one way to look at her. But I also see her as kind of a sympathetic outcast who sees the only type of power available to her. So I really don't think that there's bad guys and good guys. I think it makes it more interesting and more complex.
Tom, what was the hardest part of directing this play?
It's a much more complicated play than I even imagined when I went into this. I picked it because I love this episode. But there are so many elements, a couple of square dance scenes, the big party in the barn, so we had to get a choreographer. We had these square dances that we had to rehearse over and over, and, you know, there's special effects. And in the television version, which it was written for, you could do a lot of things visually, you could have transformations, you could have people turning into beasts on screen, things like that. But we're on stage, we can't really do those things like you can do in a TV show or a movie. So I had to figure out ways to use the audience's imagination to make those things seem visceral and real. I use sound effects and various ways of staging things to make this supernatural stuff become vivid and real. And that was an interesting process, translating the visual into audience's imagination rather than special effects.
Tom, is there a particular Blue Room audience?
The Blue Room always does things that are a little different, a little bit more on the edge or something. However, I do think people will have a good time seeing this show. It's not like heavy-ass drama, you know. It's fun. It's supernatural fun for all ages, really. That's another thing I'll mention. I really think this is a show that's appropriate to all ages. Probably if you're younger than 8, you might get scared by some of this stuff. But, you know, 8 and older, I really think all ages can enjoy this show.
Tom, will you recap the basics? When and where and who and what and why?
Well, this is The Twilight Zone Live. Jess Bell is the episode. And I'll be on stage at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, opening next Thursday. And then it only plays those 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And then the final performance is a Sunday matinee. That's a week from Sunday. 4 chances to see The Twilight Zone and have some fun, I think.
We've been talking with Tom Kinney, who is the director of The Twilight Zone Live, Jess Bell, and Ronnie Jenkins, who plays Billy Ben Turner, and Chriselle Morales, who is the lead, Jess Bell, and Jennifer Caraway, Granny Hart the Witch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
By day she knew a woman's form, by night a witch's spell. For love of Billy Turner, accursed was Jezebel.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts where you live. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.